Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Joining us is co-host TJ Inman. He'll be along here shortly to talk about Indiana's matchup on the road against ACC foe Virginia. And we'll go into depth in that game, what matchups we think IU could take advantage of, what matchups Virginia could take advantage of, and give our predictions. Also a matchup to watch, keys to the game, keys to victory. And we'll do that hopefully in under 45 minutes. So Indiana's coming off a 49-21 loss to Ohio State. So this game is huge. We've called it the most important game on Indiana's schedule, just because if you had beat Ohio State, you can't lose to Virginia the next week. And since they did lose, you can't lose. You can't start 0-2. So we welcome in TJ. And TJ, you know, a tough first week, fun atmosphere, but week one of college football is through. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I think, you know, it's difficult to call a week two game a must win, but, you know, when you look at Indiana's schedule and you look at how, you know, some of the rest of the teams on that schedule performed, plus the teams like Michigan and Penn State that you were in Wisconsin that you already knew would be a major uphill climb, not impossible, but a very difficult task. You know, you start to do that math and getting to a winning season becomes very difficult if this game against Virginia doesn't go in the W column.
Definitely. You know, you need six wins for bowl eligibility. You look at Purdue, Rutgers, and Illinois there at the end of the schedule. Purdue and Rutgers look vastly improved to week one. It is only week one. So, you know, I'm very surprised that all these people are saying, oh my God, they're so good. Well, we don't know what Louisville is. We don't know what Washington is. And we don't know what Purdue and Rutgers are right now. You know, people get hurt. We saw Janarian Grant go out early last year as well. But let's talk some IU football. They're going down to Virginia. They're 0-2 against Virginia all time. They lost in 2009 at Virginia 47-7. It was one of the most miserable games I've ever been to. I drove whatever it is, eight and a half, 9 hours by myself from Indianapolis to the game. And IU didn't score a touchdown until like there was 5 minutes left in the game. So that was terrible. Virginia played the back end of that home and home in 2011. It was Kevin Wilson's home opener. They beat IU 34-31 on a play that still does not make sense to me. Why you drop Edward Wright Baker back to pass there in the last under 2 minutes ago, minute 13 actually. You get strip sacked. Instead of going into overtime, Virginia kicks a field goal as time expires to win that game. And that season ended up as 1-11. So IU has not beaten Virginia, but they come into Saturday. I think the last time I saw it was 3-point favorites. If you look at the S&P Plus rankings, IU's 48th, Virginia is 72nd. Virginia's coming off not a resounding win, but a sound win over FCS foe William & Mary, 28-10. Kurt Benkert, their quarterback, pretty solid, completing 70% of his passes to 9 different receivers. Their running game was okay, wasn't terrific. Their main running back had 20 carries for 80 yards. So for a healthy 4 yard per carry, yard per carry average. TJ, going into this game, what does IU need to do to win?
Well, I think the first thing that jumps out as a major question mark coming from last week is going to be that running game. I think that everyone's aware of how dominant Ohio State's defensive line was in that game. But, you know, it's difficult to know how much of that is a referendum on Indiana's offensive line, how much of that is how much of that credit needs to go to Ohio State's defensive line. Where I'm sitting and from where I watched the game and kind of the draft projections and the chatter from the Ohio State coaches and the websites, the Ohio State fan sites, I think that it leans much more in favor of that being credit to Ohio State's defensive line. Their coaching staff believes that they have 5 first-round draft picks on that line, which is unheard of. And I do think Indiana definitely planned on running the ball better, planned on running it more. Mike DeBoard said as such. And they did use some short passes to the sides as part of the running game. But it just didn't work out that way. So, moving to Virginia, you should be able to run the ball at a much more effective clip. If the running game is similarly dismal, and I mean anything under, I'd say anything under like 3.5-4 yards a carry, would not including sacks, would really set off some alarm bells for me. I don't want to put a total rushing yardage on there because who knows how the game's going to unfold in terms of play selection, but I do think that when Indiana does choose to run it, they need to be able to establish it as an effective thing to do and to be able to be two-dimensional as opposed to, Richard Lego throwing the ball 65-plus times. That's not a formula for consistent success in the Big Ten or really in any power conference. So that's the first thing I'm looking for. Virginia's rush defense, they did give up some yardage last week, but 89 of that, I think it was like 168 maybe or 165, 89 of that came from William and Mary's quarterback. I have no clue if that kid is typically a scrambler. It was his first start. I have no clue if he's usually a runner, according to the Virginia fan site that I read. They didn't expect that from him. The coaching staff for Virginia was kind of surprised that he was able to do that as well. But Virginia's running backs, they were far less, or I'm sorry, William and Mary's running backs were far less successful. So how does Indiana the ball on the ground against Virginia? And if they can move the ball on the ground pretty well, and again, for me, that would signal anything above like 4 yards a carry would be a nice day for the Hoosiers running game. I think that'll open up a ton of opportunities for IU's passing game to really torch Virginia and have a good day overall on offense.
Yeah, and William and Mary kind of ran a triple option look look there where they ran their quarterback. And the running game is going to be very important. IU cannot get to a bowl game if they're going to be one-dimensional like they were against Ohio State. No matter how good that passing offense is, no matter how good Semi Cobbs is, if you're asking Richard Lego to throw the ball 65 times, it's not going to work. So maybe they sprinkle in a little bit of Peyton Ramsey. Going back to that Ohio State game, if you haven't watched the coach's film room version of the ESPN call, I highly recommend it. It's on the Watch ESPN app. Just search it. There's a replay of it. And it's Mac Brown, Les Miles, Gene Chizik, Mark Helfrich. I think Greg McElroy's in there as well. And they just take you through play-by-play of the game. And it's tremendous. And they had great things to say about IU in the first half. And then they just ran out of gas in the second half. So, to me, my key to the game is the turnover battle. It was one of our keys to the game last week. I lost the turnover battle 3-0, and they really didn't have any chances on defense at a takeaway. There was a pass interference call on a deep pass where I think it hit Jonathan Crawford in the chest. He was diving for it, so it either bounced short, hopped him, or hit him in the chest. And that was really the only time that they were close to getting a takeaway, and with the penalty, it's a wash. It doesn't matter. So they need to have opportunities at takeaways to win this, because this team, it's not Ohio State. They're not going to go down and score every single time on this defense. So IU's defense needs to get off the field and get this offense the ball back so they could go down, establish a running game, and score. So getting takeaways, whether it's forcing fumbles, or I don't even – they weren't even close to forcing a fumble on against Ohio State, and getting an interception, maybe some more pass breakups as well, because this defense needs to get off the field. We saw the tax that Ohio State put on them depth-wise, and they just – this defensive line cannot survive if they're going to be on the field for 85, 90 plays a game, which they, if they don't force a turnover or takeaway, they will be. So TJ, what else, what's a wild card thing that you're looking for that IU has to do to get this win on the road?
One quick question I wanted to ask you pertaining to the running game, because, we had so much debate in the offseason about, running back by committee, which guy would step up, which guy would end up being the guy, would there be just a one, true number one back, all those questions. And I feel like we definitely still have all those questions for all the reasons we mentioned earlier. So as we go to Virginia, which not a weak run defense, but not an incredibly stout one either. I'd put it somewhere right in the middle of what IU's going to see this season, and probably closer to the bottom than the top, which is a testament to the other defenses, because I don't think Virginia has a bad defense at all. But I would ask you, who do you think, which IU running back do you think ends up leading the Hoosiers in carries this Saturday? Not the season at all, but just this Saturday, who do you think that coaching staff chooses to lean on the most?
That's a tough question, because, anytime you rush for 17 yards,
right,
it's, let's go find somebody else. I think it's going to be Morgan Ellison. I think he gave you the best effort on Thursday night against Ohio State, but I could see them just running Mike Majette and Devontae Williams back there, doing the same thing they did against Ohio State, trying to give these guys a chance. It's very difficult to judge this running game off of their performance against Ohio State. This is the best defensive line that they're going to face all year. So if they come out against Virginia and rush for 17 yards, they have issues and things like that. So I think they're going to start the game off with the same lineup, same type of thing. And if they get stuffed on that first run, I think you're going to see Morgan Ellison have a little bit longer of a leash. He ran really well against Ohio State in the attempts that he had. So I think Morgan Ellison's going to have the most carries there late in the game. As long as he stays healthy, he should get the most carries.
Yeah, I was going to go with Ellison as well. Like you said, impossible to judge any of the running backs from that game. There was really no room for them to operate, and none of them really got much of a chance to get into a rhythm at all. So that's what I would go with. And one little subplot that I'm interested to watch, will Tyler Natee get any action this coming Saturday? And if not, that's going to be something else to look for moving forward. He did not have a carry against the Buckeyes. And
definitely. And people,
see,
people have mentioned that, and he didn't even have his helmet on, so I wonder if he was banged up a little bit. You know, he didn't even think he was going to play. We'll see.
Right.
I think, you know, against a team like Virginia, if you look at their defensive line, they run that 3-4 front. Their defensive line is pretty small at 285, 305, and 285.
Yeah.
And then behind them, there's no guy over 280. He's the guy who could break holes against that ACC, small ACC defense. But I
agree.
And you know, when you bring up Nate and down the road, this is a non-conference game, so they could bring, you know, their full roster with you. But later in the conference season, when you're only allowed to bring 70 some odd people, does he make the travel squad? Does he travel with the team? That's something else to watch for.
Yeah, and those decisions are somewhat going to be based on what occurs over the next couple of weeks. You know, the next your next three games are going to largely determine how that travel roster plays out. So it's, you know, obviously it's definitely a subplot, but still something else to look for as it pertains to the running game and how guys are utilized. So you asked kind of a wild card thing that I thought Indiana needed to do a good job of on Saturday. For me, it's going to be taking away any big play ability for Virginia. This is not a team that has the same explosive nature that Ohio State does. Very few teams do. This should not be an offense that Indiana gives up multiple explosive plays to. Now, is Virginia going to hit some pass plays for 20-plus yards? Yeah, probably. That's today's college football. That's going to happen to the best of defenses. Is Virginia going to break off some decent runs? Yeah, probably. But I really don't think you should see very many explosive plays come from this Virginia offense. Kurt Benkert is not a guy that throws the deep ball very well or very often. His average yards per attempt last season was below 7 yards per attempt. He was at like 6.8 yards per attempt last season. And it was largely more of the same on Saturday against William and Mary. Their running backs, neither one of them particularly explosive, Jordan Ellis and Daniel Hamm. I describe both of them as, honestly, to me, they looked pretty average on Saturday. I think that they were perfectly adequate, but not a pair of guys that are going to keep defensive coordinators up at night planning for them. Their two biggest play threats look to me like Andre LeBron, who appears to be their best big play receiver. He's a guy that they're hoping has kind of a breakout year. And then Joe Reed, their returner on special teams and a receiver, he looks to me on the field to be their fastest player and a guy that could have some big plays. But I think Indiana taking Virginia's big plays away, making sure that they don't turn into an explosive offense. They haven't been under Mendenhall, making sure that doesn't occur on Saturday. If you can force them to be a team that has to go down the field, you know, short chunks at a time, I don't think that Virginia's offense against Indiana's defense will be able to do that consistently. So taking away those big plays is kind of my wild card thing. And I think if Indiana does that, Virginia won't be able to have a real good day on offense.
Yeah, and that was our matchup to watch too, by Alex Compton, was Indiana's two safe starting safeties, Tony Fields and Jonathan Crawford, against these Virginia wide receivers, where we saw Paris Campbell and Johnny Dixon break for long runs. I don't think they have the type of athletes that Ohio State has on this Virginia team, but they've got to keep the play in front of them and make them make another play. You know, you don't want a one play touchdown like you saw against Ohio State. My wild card is this offensive line. It goes hand in hand with the running game. We saw them struggle against Ohio State, and rightfully so. Ohio State has like 5 or 6 guys who are going to play in the NFL on that defensive line, and it's ridiculous. But you know, can they give Richard Leygo a little bit more time to so that they could run deeper routes and get off of this coverage? Can they open up holes for this running game? We'll see. Brandon Knight is probable. I believe that's how I took it when Tom Allen said he'll play, but we just don't know how much he'll play. We'll see. If Brandon Knight plays, do they stick him in the interior of the line? Do they put him back at tackle and move Delroy inside? Brandon Knight's a talented guy who will just up the level of play of this defensive line. If they struggle against Virginia, there's more issues, just like the run game, there are deeper issues than just they got out-talented by the opponent. So the offensive line play is my wild card. If IU gets good offensive line play, they'll be fine on Saturday.
I think that's a really good point regarding Brandon Knight. I personally think that he'll be playing right tackle. That's just my personal opinion on it. I don't think Baker had a good day. And again, it's hard to judge a guy just based on the Ohio State game. But that being said, that's what we have to go with right now for Baker. That's what we have to go on, is that Ohio State game. And how would Brandon Knight have looked against those guys? We don't know, and we're not going to find out. But I think that Brandon Knight will play, you know, who knows what his conditioning level is. But I think the snaps that he is in there, they'll give him a go, right tackle. And then Baker, I don't know. I think we could see him at right guard. I'm hoping to see more of Harry Kreider at center.
They cannot survive. Allen said that they're going to play both centers, but going back and looking at the tape, they cannot survive with Hunter Littlejohn playing center. If he's going to perform the way he did against Ohio State, he couldn't. Guys were by him before he could even react. And that was a lot of the problems. He couldn't block anybody. Now, could he be, you know, could he be a nice number two and develop and practice during the year? Sure, maybe. We'll see. But Harry Kreider, as a true freshman, might have passed him. And that was kind of expected. We had high hopes for Kreider in the fall camp as well. So we'll see what they do on that. And then, you know, finally, I think special teams is our overall wild card, as usual, per every week. You mentioned Joe Reed earlier. Joe Reed averaged 30 yards per kickoff return against William and Mary, and IU just looked dreadful on kickoff returns. So whether, you know, half of it was because of Ohio State sky kick and their athletes just getting down there and getting down there fast, but some of it is Devontae Williams needs to hit the hole a little bit faster. So we'll see. Are they going to try a new returner if, you know, the first two kicks don't go well, or is this, you know, something that they're just going to stick with? I personally would like to see Cole Guest back there. He has that burst. He's also strong. He's strong enough to get through some arm tackles, and we'll see on Saturday. I thought Griffin Oaks looked terrific, even though he didn't attempt a field goal. His kickoffs were mainly in the end zone. He got, you know, 2 out of 4 for touchbacks. I thought Ohio State took two out of the end zone or off the goal line as well. And then Hayden Whitehead, outside of that touchback, I thought he was good too, in his first ever college football game. So let's go to prediction time, TJ. Before predictions, Virginia does have 2 All-Americans on defense, Quinn Blanding and Micah Kaiser. It's a safety, a free safety, and a middle linebacker. So IU's going to have to account for them wherever they are on the field. IU should have enough playmakers to where they could scheme around them, but those are 2 guys who are very, very good. They're All-Americans for a reason and just could lay waste to this game if needed to. And Virginia's place kicker shorted, he's a freshman, shorted a 42-yard field goal. So it'll be interesting to see what his range is against Indiana if they need a field goal early, yeah, you know, early in the game to get some momentum.
Micah Kizer is really good. I mean, he's a very good player. He's a tackling machine. Part of that could be attributed last season to kind of the struggles that Virginia's defensive line had. But, you know, Kizer is a really good player. Blanding is a good safety as well. I think Kaiser's the better of the two, just in my opinion. But Blanding is a good player. Malcolm Cook was their leading tackler last week. The Cavaliers did lose their best cornerback, Tim Harris, senior corner. They lost him for the year with an injury in that William & Mary game. So that makes their secondary, which was really untested against William & Mary, temps. And, you know, they're not – William & Mary is not a team that is really – going to try to test Virginia in the air at all. That was never part of their game plan. And Virginia knew that, and only 13 pass attempts despite trailing in that second half. They knew they weren't capable of putting the ball in the air much, and so they didn't deviate from who they are. So we'll see. It's a Virginia defense that really struggled against the pass, and you would think that that's a matchup that's really favorable for Richard Lego. And as a result, I think Virginia might I don't think Virginia's going to be able to even think about stopping Indiana man-to-man if they don't give their corners any help on Saturday, which, again, should, in theory, open up some running room in the box, particularly if Lego is in rhythm as he was for much of that that game against Ohio State. So going to be very interesting. Special teams is going to be interesting because of Joe Reed, and I'm with you. I would not at all mind seeing someone else get a shot. I think Cole Guest and his decisiveness when we see him with the ball, it's always just see the play, hit the line. Last week, the couple of carries he had, there was no hole to hit, but he doesn't do any dancing around at all. It would be a decisive, one cut and straight north and south running from Cole Guest. So I'd be interested to see what he could do there. Another guy that his highlight tape, at least in high school, looked great as a returner, Raheem Lane. He's another guy that maybe gets a shot. I don't know. We really don't know who else would be back there. But if Devontae Williams struggles at the start of the Virginia game, hopefully there's not many kickoffs that he has to field. But if he struggles in the first one or the first two, I wouldn't mind seeing Tom Allen pull the trigger on making a change there and hope to get something going, because having your offense start inside of the 20 darn near every time is just putting yourself in a hole right off the bat. So I do think that's going to be interesting. And I do agree on Oaks. I thought it was refreshing to see him reach the end zone again, a sign that he, I think, is really healthy and in a good place mentally, perhaps. And we'll see if he's called upon for any field goal attempts on Saturday. And, on the road, you can't afford to give up scoring opportunities. So we'll see that, all the typical things like scoring zone chances and red zone offense and all that stuff just gets amplified when you're playing a decent opponent on the road. So all that's going to come into play. All that being said, my prediction, and I thought long and hard about this because it was so hard for me to evaluate what I thought of this team after that second half. I just had to keep reminding myself, Ohio State's one of the best teams in the country. There were very logical reasons for what happened in that second half and very logical reasons for why Indiana's running game looked the way that it did. That being said, I can't pretend like my confidence in this running back group and my confidence in this team overall was not just a tiny bit shaken by that second half. So I'm really anxious to see how they respond on Saturday against Virginia. And say what you will about the Cavaliers, that's an ACC team. Recruiting ranking-wise, Virginia is right there with Indiana over the course of this roster being put together. And it's on the road, which Indiana has usually not done well on the road against Power 5 opponents. So all of those things really made me pause and think about what I expected from this game. But I ended up settling on confidence in Indiana's passing attack, confidence that the running game will get going. I don't think it'll be amazing, but I do think it'll have a solid day on Saturday. And I think the defense is going to be motivated. I don't think they were pleased at all with how things unfolded, and I think there's a lot of pride on that unit. I really think they'll be fired up and ready to go on Saturday, ready to prove that the second half of last Thursday night's game was not who they are. So I'm going to go with Indiana 31. So Griffin Oakes getting a field goal. He goes 1-for-1, I think. Gets a field goal, gets the Hoosiers 31, Virginia 17. So I go Indiana 31, Virginia 17. I think it'll be a very competitive game, but Indiana pulls away just a tad bit in the fourth quarter and ends up leaving Charlottesville with the much-needed victory to get them to 1-1 before coming back home for a pair.
Yeah, and, you know, again, like you said, it's so difficult to evaluate this team just based on that one game, what their flaws are, basically what their flaws are. We know what they're good at. Virginia's starting a true freshman at corner. They're going to have to guard Donovan Hale and Simi Cobbs and Ian Thomas. I don't know if they could do it. Their defensive line, we'll see. This is a big test for Indiana's offensive line. It's a matchup opponent, as some would say. You got to get – I think you cracked that 100-yard mark rushing. I think you have to if you want to win. The defense is going to be angry. There's a lot of stuff written about this defense this week about them not being a top 25 team and that breakthrough was a bust. And things like that. So I think they're going to come in pissed off. And that's something that should work in their favor as long as they can keep it under control. There were no crazy, silly penalties last week. I don't expect them to be any this week. I'm going to go Indiana 35, Virginia 21. I think Virginia does score three times, but I don't think they kick a field goal with that field goal kicker. If they're going to be within his distance, I think they're going to try and go for that touchdown. And if they're going to score three times, it'd be three touchdowns. So 35-21 Indiana, a comfortable victory, to say the least, and just get out of there 1-1. Any victory would be good. If they win 3-2 or 2-0 or any victory is fine. Just get out of there 1-1. Then you could come home, take care of business against FIU and Georgia Southern. And go deal with Penn State and the rest of your schedule later. So 35-21 is my prediction. We'll have a live pregame show with Matt Weaver from Pegs.com as well. Just like last week, we had our tailgate show. We're going to have a road tailgate show there as well. And then we'll have a postgame show live on the field afterwards, hopefully after a victory. TJ, thanks for joining me. Enjoy the second week of college football. And just a PSA for all you Hoosier fans listening, the game was moved to ESPNU. It is still a 3:30 kickoff. The game is on ESPNU instead of ACC Network Extra. So everybody could breathe easy. The game will be on TV locally for everybody to watch. So, TJ, thanks for joining us. And everybody, thanks for listening.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.